Chapter 15. It would soon be another victory, one more to add to the tally that stretched back through the decades. The deployment had been flawless, a silent advance under the sensor-killing aegis of both static throwers and the storm's fury. And yet, as Valdor fought in his peerless, impeccable style, the air tasted of ashes on his lips. Ushatan, true to his training, never retreated an inch. He roared into contact, broadsword leaking raw disruptor plasma, armor trailing dirty lines of filth, power unit bursting with smog. The rest of the Thunder Warriors did the same, tearing into the interlopers, emptying their guns at them before swinging their crackling blades. Reinforcements from the ridge arrived swiftly, racing down the slope to engage, headed by the many tanks that ploughed and laboured in the dirt drifts, filling the night with the coruscating fire of their linked beam cannons. It was valorous, as aggressive as anyone could have asked for. That was what the Emperor had made them to be, and they had never let him down in that. They must have known, at some level, what Valdor knew, that this would be the end for them, just one of a few lingering, grubby last stands before their short epoch was snuffed out. Still, they fought with vigour, determined to exit the stage as they had entered it, the slavering hounds of unity unrestrained, their jaws flecked with both spittle and blood.
"What are these things, then, Constantine?"
Ushatan called out, hacking one of them down and striding across his lightning-arced corpse.
"They fight like they're constipated, just like you."
Valdor knew what he meant. They were raw, these first ones, still bleeding from the last of their implants, their muscles chafing against the initial marks of power armor. Their minds were bruised and infantile, ravaged by imperfect psycho-conditioning, and their weapons had only recently been machine spirit-locked to the counterpart systems in their tactical helms. There was so much that was rushed about them, so many points of potential failure, and yet they were going to win this because, acting together, they were already terrifying.
"They are the future," Valdor replied grimly, taking out a lurching Thunder Warrior with a 1-2 slice of the Apollonian spear, leaving a wreckage of organs and metal plate in a smoking heap at his feet.
"The Angels of Death!"
He was getting closer to the Primarch. Airbursts of munitions blew across them both, filming armor with embers, and the two armies grappled around them in every direction. The tanks that Ushatan had so painstakingly dragged up here were struggling, caught by the punishing altitude and the ability of these new troops to take them on unaided. Even as Valdor swung round to face the next foe, he glimpsed one of the angels rip the turret from a serpent troop carrier and fling frag charges through the gaping hole. By the time combat was joined again, that machine was just another blackening ruin, and its slayer was already racing towards his next target.
"Well?"
said Ushatan, panting hard as he swung his thick blade around.
"I don't like them."
Valdor found himself admiring that dry-as-bones humour. He had always admired that about the Thunder Warriors. The humanity hadn't been bled from them to turn them into what they were. They had never had their emotions etiolated, nor their dreams plucked from their minds and left to wither. He would have liked to agree with the sentiment, to reply with something that might make both of them laugh wryly together, as warriors were supposed to do. But, as was usual, he couldn't think of anything suitable. All he had were the facts of the case, the artifacts of duty.
"I do not much like them either,"
Valdor admitted, punching his gauntlet through the helm face of an Imperial Guardsman before rounding on an already stricken Thunder Warrior.
"But they are here nonetheless. You should, I think, have seen them coming."
"Ha!"
Ushatan snorted, driving his blade through a second angel and flinging its twitching body aside.
"We always knew something was up. He never made us stupid. Or maybe he did. Stupid to have gone along with it for so long.
He was staggering into range now, battering his way towards Valdor with his habitual blunt force doggedness. For all that, the Primarch had taken damage. These angels weren't like the power-armored prey he'd cut down so contemptuously before. Each one had landed a blow before the end. Cumulatively, they would have got him eventually, like wolves dragging down a bear. Not that Valdor would have allowed it to happen that way.
"You had no choice,"
Valdor said, now fighting his way into the Primarch's presence, spinning imperiously on his heel to dispatch the last of his bodyguards. All around the two principals, the fighting raged unchecked, though the remorseless march of the grey-clad angels was now breaking the back of the enemy counter-advance.
"None of us did." "You almost sound like you regret that,"
Ushatan said, lumbering right at him, his blade held in that distinctive, rigid, two-handed style.
"Don't tell me you're having second thoughts."
Their weapons crashed together for the first time, sword edge grating against spear tip, and the kinetic release flattened a dozen fighters in all directions. Then they were driving savagely into one another, slashing, parrying, hacking, testing.
"I regret nothing,"
Valdor said, pushing the Thunder Warrior back with a single spine-jarring thrust.
"Only because you can't remember how."
Ushatan laughed, pushing back hard. For all his decrepitude, all his battle damage, he was still a furnace of energy, raging against the fading light.
"Still, I always wondered what it would be like to fight you."
Valdor smashed a pauldron away, ripping the metal from its shackles and exposing blood-laced flesh. He followed up with a jab that would have taken the Primarch's head off had he not jerked back at the last moment.
"Many people have wondered,"
Valdor remarked, battering him back another few paces.
"So they tell me."
Ushatan was spitting blood by then, his shoulders dropping. His blade work never let up, though, and he kept on pressing, kept on blocking.
"They're all dead now, I guess,"
he spat, trying to shoot another grim smile.
"It comes for us all in the end." "But not for you,"
Ushatan said, hammering back, putting all his strength into a sudden push that checked the Apollonian spear for a moment and held it locked in a snarling mesh of electric overflow. Their faces came close for the first time, a blank mask of pure gold and a brutish pig-iron helm grill.
"I always knew you'd outlive us because I saw what you did to all the others. These angels will fight for you now. But one day they'll realize the truth about you. They'll see you coming for them, too late to stop it. We're all dispensable, every one of us that he made for these wars. All but you."
Valdor threw off the deadlock, hacked back at him, piling strength onto strength. He could feel abundance flowing through his sinews, fueling him with a familiar, cold, martial perfection. Already he could perceive the end to this encounter, its possible outcomes narrowing swiftly now, pitilessly shrinking down to the singularity of another conquest.
"I am nothing,"
he countered, finding that he uttered the words with more vehemence than he'd intended.
"An instrument to be cast aside when its function is performed." "And what function is that? Do you even know? Or are you just playing along with this, hoping it becomes obvious later on?"
Valdor saw the gap then, the weary slip of lactic acid heavy arms, and pounced, spinning the spear and lancing it dead straight. Ushatan tried to parry and almost got there, but the strike was just too atom perfect, and the blazing spear point crashed on through the Primarch's breastplate, shoving him backwards. Ushatan roared, grabbing the hilt of Valdor's weapon and trying to wrench himself free of it, but by now the disruptor charge was spilling across him, tearing up what remained of his battle plate and searing into the skin below. Valdor cast him down, using the spear's leverage to slam him to the snow-piled ground. The impact was shuddering, sending a shockwave dancing across the terrain and snapping Ushatan's spine. Grey-clad angels coolly advanced around them both, past the kill site, driving the last of the Primarch's ragtag army back towards the ridge, leaving burning vehicle shells and freezing corpses in their wake. Valdor extinguished his spear's disruptor and knelt beside his victim. As he did so, he withdrew a long knife from his belt. When Ushatan saw that, he coughed out a final dry laugh.
The mercy stroke, eh?
He rasped, his face transfixed with agony. Up close, the black veins of fermented poisons were visible on his exposed skin.
The last indignity. You always were a miserable bastard.
Valdor placed the tip of the knife over Ushatan's heart. Fresh snow was falling around them, turned brown and flaky by burning promethium.
I meant what I said, Lord Primarch, he said. I take no pleasure in this. You were one of our finest commanders.
And these new toys of yours, who will lead them now? Will they have their own commanders?
No. Those ones are lost.
All the better for you, then. The High Lord was right. You can't bear rivals.
It was not my doing.
Sure it wasn't.
Ushatan spasmed, hacking up oily blood.
You know, when we were at Moreland Sen, and I said I pitied you, I meant it. I'm not trying to goad you. I really do pity you.
Valdor remained motionless for a moment, his hand on the grip of the knife.
I lived, Captain General,
Ushatan rasped.
It was short and it was painful, but by the Nine Hells, I lived. I'd rather have it that way than yours. No joy, no hate, no fear. Unbreakable, without growth. Immortal, without passion.
As Valdor readied himself to apply downward pressure, he had a sudden vision of a far-off future state, spun out of reality and into the cold halls of an undiscovered time, where the galaxy itself was darkened by strife and whole worlds were cast into flame, where wonders and madnesses had been unlocked and now screamed their way through the arch of reality, where the foundations of physics creaked beneath the ravening scuttle of nightmarish unreason. And he was still there, still unchanged, still cold and pure and steadfast, and unable to feel anything but the ubiquitous press of unending responsibility.
What is left for you, Constantine?
Ushatan breathed, blood bubbling up between his burned lips.
What more can he take from you that he hasn't already?
Valdor drew in a long breath, then plunged the knife in, ending the Primarch's agony. For a moment, he did nothing else, his head bowed, the storm exhausting itself around him and coating the land in a film of pale, drifting grey. Then, slowly, he withdrew the blade.
Nothing, he said very softly. Nothing at all.
Simonas plummeted, leaping from the faltering platform and ploughing straight into the wall's collapsing structure. He skidded down through the rows of vials, churning them up and casting a glittering wave of glass into the upswelling flames. For less than a second, he remained poised just above the churning plasma, a speck of auramite speeding towards destruction. In that moment, he caught a final glimpse of Astarte's body as it tumbled away into oblivion, the platform twisting like a wick in the flames, and then everything blew into a roiling world of heat and light. Even encased in his superlative armor, the press of the inferno was colossal. His vision snapped out, replaced by a white dazzle flare, and his tactical senses disappeared into a soup of distortion. He could vaguely feel the disintegrating shelves as he tried to use them to slow his descent, gouging into the metal plates to make his headlong fall just a little less bone-shattering. When he finally collided with the rock-crete floor, it was like being smashed into by a runaway landhauler. Both his legs flared in agony, and he felt the bones splinter. Heavy metal shards sunk down around him, slamming like molten rain amid the melting, churning world of magma. He had no fixed point of reference. All directions were blinding, shimmering with flame, thundering with the noise of impending implosion. He could only visualize what must have been happening all around him, the vials exploding, ejecting their priceless contents into the boiling flame swill before even the glass fragments melted. Everything was poised on the indeterminate border between liquid and gas, and when he moved, it felt as if he was swimming through the core of a star. And yet, even then, in the midst of that nigh infinite destruction, the old manias still wouldn't loose their grip. Failure. This is failure. Simonas dragged himself forwards, going on instinct, groping his way through the flames towards where he thought the portal must be. His earpieces rang with the roar of the inferno, blotting out his own strangled gasps of agony. He felt the impacts of debris on his back and the skin-shredding heat getting in where his armor had been damaged. And yet, somehow, he reached the threshold. He hauled himself over the edge just as the entire structure behind finally began to fall in on itself. Even over the thundering outrush of the flames, he heard the cracking of the vault's pillars, the toppling of its ancient retaining walls, the boom of rubble as it poured into the caldera created by Astarte's destructive vengeance. He felt his pulse charging out of control, his consciousness wavering. Every movement was a fresh excruciation, a harrowing of his already mortified flesh. Too slow. His limbs were like lead. He tried to lift his arm again and failed. Something heavy crunched on top of him, driving a rent in what remained of his armor, and he coughed blood into his mouthpiece. All he could see during that time was Astarte's face, that strange mix of ruin and triumph curdled into madness, setting off the annihilation of her life's work. That, of all of it, was the worst thing. He couldn't get the image out of his head, and had the sudden realization that it was going to be the last thing he would ever see. And that was a bitter irony, a mortal scorn marking his inadequacy. But he was wrong. With faltering awareness, he felt his broken wrists being grasped and his body being dragged forwards. There was scarcely any let-up in the fury of the inferno, but through the rush and howl of flame, he began to perceive dark outlines, armor-clad warriors struggling against the backdraft, pulling him from danger. By the time they reached the first of the secure chambers, he was beginning to recover some of his awareness. The pain was almost all-consuming, but some of that now came from his body fixing itself, cauterizing the wounds and combating infection from the burns. He felt someone wrench his helm off and found himself blinking and coughing and spitting up more blood. He was in the dungeon again, far enough up to escape the furnace, but still surrounded by the evidence of destruction. The floor shook, and the stink of burning made the air acrid. "He will live." Simonas heard the words through a blurry haze and did not recognize the speaker. Only when a helmed face swam back into his field of vision did he see one of his own order standing over him. Of course, it had to be one of his own order. No other soul would have been able to withstand the flames. "Were there any others in there with you?" came the question. He knew what that meant. Any other custodians, any other warriors capable of being saved. Simonas shook his head weakly. Sensation and control were coming back to him, vying with the anguish.
The vaults,
he began, his charred tongue thick in his mouth. Destroyed, came the reply emotionlessly. Nothing recovered. Simonas let his head fall back, striking the stone heavily.
That was that, then. The entire operation, all the preparation, for nothing.
His watchfulness had been in vain, and an enemy had struck at the very heart of the Imperium, wiping out its greatest treasures.
There will be a price for this,
he found himself mumbling, even as consciousness began to slip away again.
There is always a price.